You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Knick fans, if you'd rather just watch the draft with us, with full Knicks coverage, meaning right up to their pick and then all the reaction to the pick and other moves and everything else, we're on MSG tonight, also live. If you want to watch it, you can also flip back and forth, you know, God willing, but the draft begins at 8, whether it's ESPN or MSG, we'll both have it. Pre-draft shows at 7:30 on ESPN. Now, this is the way it goes, Bart. So in the NFL draft, is it how many minutes between picks in the first round?
Ooh, I think it's like 10.
Is it 10?
No, it's 5.
It can't
five?
Be 10. That seems like a ridiculous
amount. Yeah, it's 5. I think it's 5.
Yeah, in the NBA, it's 5 minutes between picks. And here we go again. You don't need to start the clock for the number one pick. It is 10? Winthrop says it's 10.
See? I thought it was crazy. I thought it was an absurd number.
For.
That's why you get all the ratings. It's a 4-day show.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's 10. It's 10. So
I can't count or do math.
That is correct. There's zero reason to start the clock for the number one pick. None. We do this all the time. We talk about it all the time. What reason do you need? You have been on the clock, and this is the longest on the clock in draft history. You've been on the clock for, well, how many months would you say? 7, 8 months? I don't think you need the 5-minute count. What are they going to do? Well, and now they're talking it over. What are you talking over? It's not a talk over. If you don't know the day, this morning, right now, if you don't know who you're picking, then you did a bad job. So anyways, 5 minutes between picks. The second round goes down to 2 minutes. The Knicks pick at 8, so you're talking about a little before 9 if they stay at 8. So we'll see what happens there. Now, on the Nets side of things, Bart, a new twist to the James Harden and even the Russell Westbrook stuff. Tim McMahon reported this last night. So the Rockets, apparently, with their new regime, are, quote, willing to get uncomfortable, end quote, as training camp season begins. Yeah, you're right. It's true.
Yeah,
I always tell my son that. Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's the way of the world. As we see Chris Paul shoot with Devin Booker already.
You know what I mean? Yeah, they're already together. Hopefully they're wearing masks. But could you, like the Rockets could actually say, we're not rushing into anything, and you're going to have to do better than giving me, like, Dinwiddie and LeVert, and, you know, like we got to do better than this, right, for James Harden. And if you're the Rockets, you almost want to put that pressure on the Nets, because they're the ones that probably would want to get this thing done before the season starts, because you want those three in, even though it's a short training camp, I want them in the training camp together. Like, I don't want to do this on the deadline, or let's do this now. So if you're the Rockets, there's no reason to jump into it. Now, the Westbrook one might be a little different. There's a report by The Athletic that was confirmed by ESPN that the Rockets and Wizards talked. And how about this one? Would you do Westbrook for John Wall?
See, me, I'm different. I think I would. I think
same money. Yeah. I think it's a 2-year difference in age. Wall is 2 years younger.
One has a severe injury issue.
And one dude's coming off a million different injuries, including a ruptured Achilles. And it's John Wall, which, you know, they're both like perpetually miserable. Neither one of them is ever happy, right? Like, but they're both talents.
I wonder how much of this also depends on what Bradley Beal wants to do. Because Bradley Beal says, listen, I can't play with John Wall. We've tried this.
That's a great point. Well, if he can't play with John Wall, who's a passer, how do you play with Russell Westbrook?
I mean, he may be able to play with Russell Westbrook just because he may say, you know what, I need some time off and need a pit bull that's going to go do this and I can spot up sometimes. John Wall sometimes, you know, that marriage has never really worked well, and they try and act like the relationship is fine. But every time I have to come out, I have to talk about our relationship is fine, then it really isn't.
That's a good point. But it almost feels like unless the Rockets are getting from the Wizards, you know, like another pick or something. I can't. How is that? Like, money's how are you telling me that that's basically, right. I'm just getting a younger, more injured player for the same contract, for the same price?
And I don't know what he looks like post-surgery. I know he's been in the gym. We've seen him on Instagram and on social media in the gym. But we don't know how that thing's going to hold up. We don't know how compromised he is and where his game is. So, I mean,
it's a weird. That's a weird scenario. But now, again, it didn't really go anywhere, but it was something that was kicked around. So the Rockets going to be interesting to see what they do. But if you're a Nets fan and you're waiting for this, like I said, you pull the trigger. But I don't know if the Rockets making it clear, at least publicly, they're in no rush to trade James Harden, no matter how he feels, no matter what he's saying. So, okay, you turn down $50 million a year from us. You're trying to make this trade happen. We'll do it on our terms. You want out, we'll let you know when we're comfortable with whatever the offer is going to be. But in the meantime, you might have to just hang around here and make it all awkward. We don't care.
But what if he does the Iguodala and just don't play or say he's injured and won't go out there? What if he does Anthony Davis? What if he does Anthony Davis? Oh, my back hurts.
Yeah, that's something that would be... Yeah, I don't know how the league would be able to deal with something like that.
I mean, Anthony Davis did. I can't go back-to-back. I'm tired.
What are you tired from? He hasn't played since
I'm just saying. September? I'm just saying. You know, we saw Anthony Davis sit on the bench for better yet, 2 months?
Yeah. No,
phantom injuries?
If you're the Rockets, though, Bart, right, that has to be the only way you got to handle it that way, don't you?
It's
like,
tough,
like we're not
it's
in any
tough.
Hurry, and I'm not going to take a deal I'm not happy with just to keep, just to make you happy. You don't want to be here, that's you.
That's a lot on a young regime. And then you're asking a player that's been around to stay here after they get rid of the coach, after they get rid of the general manager, and start all over again. And I'm 31 years old, and I'm thinking I only got 4 more years to win. I'm saying, hey, man, listen, I tried. I came here, I gave y'all everything I got, and I appreciate everything that you did for me as an organization. But it's time for me to move on. And if I can get you 3 young players and some salary cap relief, then why wouldn't you want that? If I can get you LeVert, Allen, and Dinwiddie, mm-hmm. and get some of this money off the books, why wouldn't you want to do that? Because clearly if I'm here, we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to finish 6th. This gives you an opportunity to build over, get a lot of salary cap space. So then in 2021, you're in prime position, because who's to say that a superstar might not say, you know what, I can go win the same way Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving said, hey, I can win with Dinwiddie and Tucker and Gordon. That's not that bad if you add me to it. They got like some budding stars. If Dinwiddie can be a budding star, he's like a two-star. And you look at, you look at Gordon, he's a two-star. He's a two-star, and then I can pair myself with them and be the alpha male. That may not be the most frightening thing in the world.
John Wall hasn't played in like 2 years. So that's somebody that you is not just going to jump right in and be ready to go at 100 miles an hour, which is the way he used to play before all the injuries. He's one of the fastest players in the league with the ball. So, those are all different scenarios that you have to look at. But it's good, I guess, because it's just a weird season. No fans in the building. If there's ever a time to be a disgruntled player, it's now. People aren't going to boo you. There's nobody to be there. Like this would be the time. It's a short season. I mean, think about it. They're drafting now, and 6 months later, they're going to draft again. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Like in 6 months, you'll be preparing for another draft. There'll be a lottery in 6 months. So, I guess that's, well, maybe not, because I guess the playoffs are going to July. So maybe not 6 months. But you know what I'm saying. It's 72 games. It's only 10 less than the usual. But it's still going to feel like a fast season. So if there's ever a time to do it, is this one. So just to recap again, as the draft is tonight, I mentioned it's 8 o'clock. It's on ESPN. It's also on MSG. We also have coverage right here on 98.7 ESPN. Our pre-draft coverage begins at 7:30. So we'll have all the coverage for you as well. If you're not in front of a TV, you can certainly listen to it right here as well. The Knicks made a draft move today where they traded the number 27 pick and the 38 pick, which is a second rounder. They packaged those together, moved up to number 23. That was where the Utah Jazz had the 23 pick. So the Jazz now have 27 and 38. And just a side note, while Perrin, who's running this draft for the Knicks, he used to work for Utah. So you always deal with people you know, and they were able to do that. Now the question is, why would they move up 4 spots? Like, what is the reason to do that in a draft where you haven't seen it? Usually you do something like this when the draft is happening. You see the board coming together. You see where a player might end up going. Oh, I want this guy. Let me move up. To do it now, It just kind of makes you wonder, what are they trying to do? Woj is out there speculating. The Knicks are still trying to move up in this draft. I've been telling you that there's a couple of targets for them. James Wiseman is one that if you can get into the top three, number two, Warriors are looking to trade that pick. That's a young 19-year-old big man that maybe you can get your hands on. That, less likely. More likely is their target, a guy they love, Obi Toppin, the player of the year from Dayton, who also has New York roots. This is somebody that they really like, and if they can get the ability to just jump up enough where they won't lose him, because we've seen that in past with the Knicks. Teams, right before the Knicks want to get a guy, he was taken by another team. So I think they're trying to just be prepared to move up. So certainly have to keep an eye on that stuff going on tonight. 800-919-3776. All right, Bart, let's grab some calls here. Let's see. DJ's in Staten Island. Get it, DJ.
Alan, Bart, I hope everybody's well, man, but I'm going to excuse the pleasantries, man. Obi Toppin, and Alan, I need more Obi Toppin, and I'm going to say this why. You missed out on Knox. You missed out on Frank. Obi Toppin, I don't understand why everybody makes a big deal. The kid just turned 22. Everybody makes a big deal about age. I'd rather have Obi Toppin at 22 with a certified offense, and this whole knock on his defense, the kid blocks shots. He can move his feet. It's a question of did he want to at Dayton. I really believe that if he would have made it to March Madness, because they were ranked as a high team,
yes,
you would have seen the best out of Obi. I think you would have seen offense and defensively, he would have gave it his all. He's a humble kid, Alan. Blood in the sand, Alan. His dad is a baller, a street court legend. Okay,
Tucker's delight.
Blood in the sand. He understands what it would be, what it would mean to be a Knick, be in New York. And honestly, there's no point guards that I really trust or love in this draft. You got next year's draft. You got Cade. You got all those guards. You got those Dallas picks. Keep them. Stockpile more picks and try to get the point guard that you want. Go after Fred VanVleet or DJ Augustine. He was already with Tibbs in Chicago. He understands the system. All you need is a floor spacing point guard that can run the system. Obi Toppin, you don't even have to think about it. And Chicago is trying to go after Patrick Williams. Have fun with that. Try to get with Cleveland. I saw the report about Cleveland was kind of thinking about it. Give them 23, Knox, and that eighth pick, and run with Obi Toppin and whatever else they give you back, Al. That's all I got to say, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you got it, DJ. I mean, I think there's just a connection there on many levels. And Bart, if you're a player who people say, well, he's not a very good defender, and you have a coach who's an experienced coach who's well-known for his defense, and he's watching film and takes you, wouldn't that tell you that the coach probably sees something that's fixable?
Yeah. I you know what? I would be interested also to see what's the expectations for Obi Toppin if he comes in here? Like, because it won't be immense pressure like R.J. Barrett, but it'd be some pressure, and I think he's mature enough to handle it. This is the biggest thing that perplexes me, Alan, right? These internet, because you said more people would know about Obi Toppin if there had been a March Madness, right? If it would have been March Madness, we would have knew more about him.
That's a good point.
But also, so would he had been a consensus number one? Would it had been a consensus number one because we would have saw a team win a national championship, or we would have saw him carry Dayton all the way deep into the process? But the same thing with as little as we know about that, we know even less about these international players. And it's a couple guys that you have to look at and say, hey, are we missing something here?
That's something I think in a draft like this, that's the problem. It's amazing that there's been so much time to watch film, and yet it still no one's convinced on anyone. That's what makes tonight so interesting. And you know what? 5 years from now, just like the Giannis draft, where there was nobody at the top of that draft.
Yeah.
But just the same thing. 5 years from now, you look back and think somebody, and it always happens, someone got a steal in this draft. Somebody did. Who's it going to be? That's the question. Let's take Spike in New Jersey. Hey, Spike.
Hey, fellas. Here we go again, Alan. It's my fifth draft with you. We've been through, I'm so tired too. I slept like 4 hours, and I'm 25 years older than you. And here's what I gotta say. I'm gonna be real quick, because I'm real tired. I'm real disgusted. Can we get some guys on the floor that can make a shot? for 5 years, you and I go back and forth. We need shot makers. This Halliburton, he's got a low release, but he can shoot. But he's not a point guard. He needs some meat on him. He's a little thin, but he's okay. I want to change my whole attitude with the Westbrook thing now. I'm going to give it to you real quick. Oh. I'd take him now. I'd get the Morris twins and put them back in. They're both UFAs. They're both don't play. You can get. They want to be together. We know that. Ever since Kansas, they're Philly guys.
They want to be close to Philly.
Bring them both
that's
in.
What they want. They want to be close to
bring them both in. You can get them two for whatever the number is, a very low number. And you get Westbrook in there. Let him. Barrett's got to learn how to shoot. I love the motor, but he's not a shooter. So we got to get guys who can shoot. So if you get a Hayward or you get who else is out there? I'm ready. I'm tired now. Yeah,
Gallinari's a shooter. Bertans is a shooter. You know, this guy's out there.
He's got to go. He's a backup. You can't. What you said before, I almost lost my mind. I know it's fatigue. You can't go into this season with Dennis Smith Jr. as your starting point guard.
Who's your starting point guard?
Give him back to Mark Cuban.
Who's your starting point guard? You don't have one.
I know that.
That's the problem. But that's the problem. It's realistic.
We're talking 5 years about getting a point guard. We can't stay with Frank. I want to drive Julius. Let me dribble into a pick.
Yeah, well, if you're going
to dribble into a trap. I'll drive him wherever he wants. He's got to get out of here. The money would work. Let's get him out of here. Get him out of here. Get Smith out of here. Knox is in quicksand. He's in quicksand. I don't care if he's 20 years old. He could be the nicest kid in the world. He can't play. He's an end of the bench catch and shoot guy. I keep hearing guys saying, give him a chance. He's young. Look, you know it, and I know it. You know it too, Bart. Kevin Knox is not an NBA rotation player. He's just too slow. He can't move, and he gets caught on a baseline. I've watched every dribble he's been in this league. You know that. He gets trapped on that baseline. Tom Thibodeau, how many empty pizza boxes does he have laying around?
Well, they've got a lot of time to work with him. I don't think they're in any hurry to get rid of him.
Alan, he's got no. He's his talent, his touch. He's a good kid, but we gotta move now. Get the Morris boys in there. Get Westbrook in there. Throw the ball into Mitchell. Play some defense, and let's be a 6 or 7 seed. I'm tired of it. I can't bring it down to the studs anymore. I can't.
All right. Thanks, Spike.
And wore down the most loyal fan. And
he's exhausted.
Down.
Like so many fans want to just stick to the process. You can hear Spike. Or like,
I wonder how much of that is the fact that they're looking at what the Nets can do, won't do, maybe going to do, get a third star. Like, man, the Nets.
That's why I asked that question. So, Bart, again, I'll present it to you again. Because the Nets are in the situation they're in, where they are on the verge of having a super team now. I mean, they really, you could call it a super team. It's a dynamic duo. But if you do get Harden, you know, that's one of the best big threes you're going to see in the last decade or more.
Yeah.
Like, that's as good as it gets, as talent-wise. Now, whether it works or not, another story. But talent-wise, that's as good as it gets. So they're going to have that. So there's two ways you can go here. You could try to make moves and sort of do what you can to measure up, but you almost look like you're trying too hard, right? Would the better play be, go ahead, you guys go ahead and have today. We still are focused on tomorrow because in a short window, that's going to break up. And if you don't win a title by then, it'll be our turn. You know, like I almost feel like you can see the short term because you're still trying to do something long term. And even if that means, man, these next 2 years are going to be tough. We're going to lose by 70 in our own building to this team. But I feel better. You'd feel better, at least saying yourself. I'm not saying I feel better. I'm saying, but doing something with a plan, you could feel better about, let me get this sort of group together that I feel like is going to grow into something with the ability to, you know, to be a contender down the road. Which team would you be able to buy into better?
Mm.
You know, because again, like the Amari Melo group was, you know, they were talented. That was the best years the Knicks have had in 20. All right, I'll give you that, and I always say that. But it didn't measure up to Miami. It fell short. Like, it almost felt like you tried to match them, and you just couldn't. Like, it didn't come close.
Yeah, and I don't think
you want to get involved in that again, right?
You had a broken star. Because you had a broken star. Like, you know. You know,
but you knew
Stoudemire couldn't even pass the physical for Phoenix. We know how great their medical staff is, and they said that he would break down. He broke down. He did some silly stuff like punching his hand against the wall and all that stuff. And I think it accelerated the decline of the group that they put together. These are all three guys that are young and spry. You know what I mean? These guys are close. They're in the middle of their career. I think that those guys at that point, Amari, because he's broken down, we knew that he had a short shelf life. And then Kidd was old as hell.
Bart, did you know Dave DiGuglielmo?
I can't even spell that, so you know I ain't know him.
No, he was with the Jets. He was an offensive line coach.
No, he must be there before me.
Dave, 2012.
I had left. I think 12, 13 was my last.
12, year. You were gone by 12. Okay. Well, the Giants, this is just being reported. The Giants have fired Mark Colombo.
Yeah. Joe Judge taking the reins. You know what I'm saying? I wonder what that means with him and
Can't wait.
And that's kind of interesting, though, right? You fire your offensive line coach at this point during a bye week. Does that suggest that they're looking at, our O-line play has not been good enough?
Exactly.
You're going to be held accountable.
Self-scouting, bro. Self-scouting. And he's trying to say Mark Colombo is Jason Garrett's guy. He probably bought him in. And he's looking at this like, this is not good enough. And when you're going to fire coaches for a subpar play from a certain position, you do it during the bye. People don't realize Rex's first year, we fired our defensive line coach. I don't even remember the dude's names. He made it there. To the first bye, and we fired him too. And we were having a successful season. He just wasn't good, and leaders recognize that. Mm-hmm. And it'd be different if people were saying, "Oh, well, he's firing them because they're losing." No, they kind of have a little thing, good thing going, and the offensive line had been playing better. But I'm sure they've done some reconnaissance with the players and trying to say like this dude just don't know.
It's a good point.
He's outdated.
Too. It's a good point too. Maybe some of the offensive linemen, maybe they had a conversation.
Yeah, like,
and some of the old linemen are like, hey, you know what?
And he empowered his team.
Our game plan.
And he could have empowered his team. Like, hey, the techniques that he's teaching, we don't rock with. And they looked at it because Mark Colombo is an old school guy, and he's been with Jason Garrett. And Jason Garrett, and he's probably hired there because Jason Garrett was hired there, and he wanted to bring some of his guys with him. Say, hey, can you help out my guy Colombo? He's a tremendous offensive line coach. Look what he did here with the Great Wall of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And understanding that you don't have the same talent to work with, trying to come over here and do that, and not really get guys performing at a high level. They start responding to you. You got to get rid of them.
I know we got calls to get to, and we want to talk NBA draft, which a lot of people want to talk. Some want to also talk about the Giants. We will get to that. But I'll tell you what. First, this is really... I like this one today. This is a good one, Anthony. Let's get to audio files.
The audio file.
Now I'm like Michelle Scalise. I'm like, audio files. Let's go, Bart.
I wish I could see.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, what is it, Security Dodge? Audio files.
I know. You know what? We should find her and ask her to do some voiceover work for our segment.
I thought, we actually thought a great idea would be to have Security Dodge sponsor audio files, and she could do that, right? Audio files by Security Dodge. Take over, bot. Like, it'd be hilarious. But
be like Vision.
Apparently, they don't want to do it. We have to have a chat with them.
Buzzkill.
Yeah. It's a shame. We love Michelle. Anyways, Jamal Adams. So, we kind of kicked him on the way out. Not everything is, revealed. We don't know everything about a player or a person. We also know that being a Jets fan is definitely something that's depressing. I'm not making a joke about it. It really does affect your mood. Well, apparently Jamal Adams revealed on the All Things Covered pod that he, too, dealt with depression while here.
Bro, I fought depression in New York, bro. And I'm man enough.
Really?
I fought depression, bro.
Wow.
Oh, but there was so many, there's been so many times to where I've came home after a loss, a tough loss, and just sat in my room, bro, in the dark. No phone, no TV, and Pops will walk in and be like, hey, man, you all right? He hated to see me like that. It killed my Pops so much, come to find out. He was calling my agent at the time and saying, hey, man, I don't like seeing my son like this. I need him out of this situation.
Doesn't that kind of reveal a lot about the rumors we heard about whether or not he wants to be here and he wanted out of here? Now we kind of know what this was about. We always said, remember, about how his dad and what his dad went through with the Giants. Get paid. You got to get paid because if you don't, you can get screwed like I did if you get injured. But he also cares about his son and he sees you're miserable here. You can't stand losing. You can look at it eats at you. This is not good for you. And the Jets don't really look like they're heading in any direction where you're going to start winning anytime soon. Bart, does it change your thinking of Jamal, or do you hate what you just heard there?
Well, I just wonder if Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf is looking at that Seattle defense and Jamal out there like, can't win with him, man. They can't stop nobody. How can you be this bad? We putting up 34 points a game. You can't hold teams under 34 points?
Okay. So you're taking a different tact, I see.
Just saying.
I just know what it's like to watch. And it's different. When you're an athlete and you're going through it, it's one feeling. When you have a son, and like I have my son, but not to get too deep into it, my son's in prep hockey. He's in his last year of prep. It's a big year. They might not play. Like the season might get canceled. I've never seen this kid work as hard as he's worked over the last year. I mean, just dedicated, obsessed, all of it. Growing into a player that really has a chance. Like a legit, I never believed he would. I believe he's got a legit chance, right?
Yeah.
Yet, he might not play and not a single scout will see him. And he's going to have to wait and now have to go to junior hockey to be seen, which is, we know that's a, junior hockey is a complete other world that people don't even know about. So I see him and he's getting down. The more like the rumors happen that, oh, there won't be a season. Like it takes everything just to keep him from being depressed. Like, no. Hey, you know, this is supposed to be the best time of his life. So no, I understand that. But when you see your kid going through a depression as an athlete, it's hard to, you know, you worry. Let me get him out of here. So I can understand what his dad was doing there. It does. I do admit, though, it does make me change my view of Jamal Adams.
I mean, I knew.
You know?
No?
All right.
I mean, he said it was committed. I mean, we all go through depression when you lose.
You never dealt with losing. You never dealt with that kind of losing. So you don't know.
Bro, I went to Southern Illinois.
Nah.
I won two games.
You were a college player just killing people. I'm talking when you got to the pros.
Well, I had a couple bad years.
But not like that.
I had a year we lost 9 in a row.
Right, that's not good. Were you hurt?
No, we lost 9 in a row after being 5-0. I mean, 4-1. Lost 9 in a row. I thought I was going to the Super Bowl. I didn't lose 9 in a row.
Oops.
So we've been there. But listen, I understand that it was a long time he was there, and he thought that it would never change. And he was excited when they got Le'Veon, and that didn't make the difference. And you think about, you know, I get it. I hope he's happy now. And we'll see what happens with the contract, because Seattle, you know, has a lot of money tied up.
Good point.
And with Jamal, their defense is still historically horrible. I mean, their defense may be the worst defense. They're starting to get that rarefied air. When you start giving up over 400-some yards a game, that's what you're averaging, that's bad territory to be in.
All right, let's move on this one. But you're right. We have talked about the undefeated Steelers, and it seems like every week now we're going trap game. Like, almost like we're trying to predict when they're going to actually lose a game this year. Trap game. Well, it wasn't Dallas. It wasn't Cincinnati. Mike Tomlin. Could it be the Jaguars?
I'm not into the trap game discussion. I understand that that's things that you guys like to talk about, but this is the NFL. And more than anything, the guys know my attitude regarding that. We are not a Big Ten team playing a MAC opponent this week. Every time we step into a stadium, we're playing professionals, players and coaches. And we got a ridiculous level of respect for that. And so, you know, write your story, man. Follow your storylines about trap games and things of that nature. We understand what we're going into in Jacksonville, that's a group that's trying to kick our butt, a professional group, a capable group, and we're preparing with that understanding.
First of all, what did Mac do to them? Secondly, I thought that his best player on the team is from the Mac. So that's disrespectful. Why couldn't you call out the Big 12? Why couldn't you call out, you know, the Pac-12? Why you got to call out the Mac? What did the Mac do? Come on,
we
son.
Love the Mac.
But I tell you what, the worst thing that can ever happen to the Steelers is for them to get into those last two games and be undefeated. Because we know and we've heard from teams that have been undefeated. Once you get close, you start pressing and it starts to emotionally wear you out. And then you get into the playoffs and you be one of these one-and-done teams. Listen, I don't care if they lose, you know, that's probably the best thing to happen to them, because everybody are letting the things that can make them lose get swept under the rug. What they did to Dallas, you know, getting beat up and beat down by the Ravens, you know, what they potentially, you know, what could potentially be lying in the future. They got the Colts. That's a tough game. They got the Bills. That's a tough game. They got the Ravens on Thanksgiving. They got some tough games coming up. It may be good for them to lose one.
Well, that's the thing. But the thing with those games is the ones that if you lose to Baltimore, if you lose to the Colts, all right, I can see that. Like, I could see him losing that game. Like, it's all right. Well, you know, you can have a good game and still lose to them, but you shouldn't lose to Dallas. You shouldn't lose to Jacksonville. right? You shouldn't lose to Cincinnati. So that's why we say, what if they lose this game because they just, it's a trap game. So that's my point. That's why we talk about trap games. We talk about trap games as the ones that you overlook. You look past them and you end up losing. And I love Tomlin's response to that. All right, last but not least. So Michigan is now 1-3. They lost last week to Wisco. 49-11, and Jim Harbaugh, as we've been talking about, is he's under some pressure, isn't he? A little bit of pressure. This week, they play at Rutgers. Your boy, Carlin, can't wait for that call. All fired up.
Piscataway.
I actually asked Anthony, check the line on the game, and apparently there's no line. Is that because it's in Jer? Oh, it's 10.5. Oh, there is a line. I mean, think about that for a minute. Ohio State, the line was like 40, wasn't it? And now this is 10.5?
Wow.
Would you take Rutgers?
I'll take Rutgers.
10.5 at Piscataway. So anyways, so Harbaugh was on 97.1 The Ticket, and he was asked how he's handling these struggles.
How do we handle it is we get back to work. You know, we're not going to slow down. We're never going to stop. And we're going to, you know, keep, it's not going to feel sorry for ourselves. I don't think there's anything to be embarrassed about. You just keep pushing forward. And yeah, people think athletic greatness is defined by perfection. It's not. It's defined by overcoming obstacles and overcoming adversity. So as you asked me when you know I first got on the phone here, how was I doing? I'm attacking, and same thing I want our players doing.
Is that the best message from him? Give me the BS translator.
Yeah, he's like, man, I'm out. I just don't want to quit.
Seriously?
I'm good, bro.
Seriously?
Like, man, I put every Jedi mind trick I can do, man. We lose to Rutgers, man. So I ain't wearing khakis
Rutgers
no more.
Rutgers wins this game. If Rutgers wins this game, Bart, does he get fired on the spot?
Nah, they ain't going to fire him. They're going to tell him, you know what? You know, go up to him and I hope those khakis he have on got buttons up. Somebody gonna snatch them off. No more khakis allowed. Get some Jenkins.
I'm rooting now for Carlin. I am rooting for Carlin and Rutgers. Are you? I am. I'm normally not that invested, but I'm invested in this.
You just love to see a great car crash.
Oh.
I just want to hear Carlin just screeching the win at the end. It's been a huge win for Rutgers in their building. With no one there, unfortunately.
The Gataway's back. The Big Ten belongs to Rutgers. We're coming. Gracie Allen will turn it around.
Love it. Little known fact, I love candles.
That's your guy.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
Let's go with this. Return of the Mac. Little Maxion again tonight. We're going to try to come back after last night. We go 0-2, our first losses of the season in the Mac. But they were close. I mean, I don't know, man. I thought I had it. The Zips. Come on, Akron. We were there halftime. Right there. They even went to their backup quarterback and still started stacking points on me. It's like, damn. Akron was giving me a game that first half, though.
It was dope. It was tied up with 28-28.
Yep. Ice on the field. I think it was one of those games you felt like anything could happen. Nobody was playing defense. You hit the over before halftime. That's how wild of a game. Nobody was playing defense. Bart, seriously.
Defense, like, optional.
That would have made you throw up as a defensive player. Like, damn, anybody going to guard anyone?
I would have punched my defensive coordinator in the face. It ain't working. Let's see the game plan. Let me see. Throw it all out.
And then Buffalo, by the way. Buffalo is, that was a plus 31, right? I took Buffalo. Buffalo is smoking, who are they playing? Why am I forgetting? It was 35-3. And you just had to walk home with it. And what'd they do? Again, all the backups come in, and they trade two touchdowns for one, and it's Bowling Green. That's right. Bowling Green's terrible. And they trade two touchdowns for one in the fourth quarter, and there goes the cover.
Damn it. I tell you what, man, these MAC games are exciting, if anything.
God, it's fun to watch because it's just anything can happen. That's why you love it. Always take the over. All right, it's Bart and Han. We're driven by your local Lexus dealer, Lexus ES, now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence to take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See you, Lexus dealer. So let's try to make a comeback today, Bart. So the two games there's one game I'm not touching because it's a rivalry pick 'em and I'm not doing it. So instead we go with more fun. We know Northern Illinois is bad and they have been good for us. So we're going to continue to bet against them. They play Ball State. And Ball State, we're going to give the 15 and take Ball State. It's a rivalry game school-wise. 7 o'clock ESPN News if you want to watch it like me and just be crazy. I'll have that on the side while I'm doing the MSG stuff for the draft tonight. The over-under 62, and because Northern Illinois' offense is that bad, like they're struggling. I'm going to take the under. I know you're never supposed to take the under in the MAC. I just said that. I'm going against my own rule. But Northern Illinois' offense it's not good. Like, they're really having a hard time. So let's take the under, and let's take Ball State. The other game, we're going to go against the grain. Toledo at Eastern Michigan. Toledo is favored by 6.5. Their defense, by the way, speak of bad defense, Bart, not good. And they're really bad against the run. If I gave you this scenario, Toledo is favored by 6.5, but they are terrible against the run. And Eastern Michigan has this dude, Preston Hutchinson, who's a really good dual threat quarterback who can give you 100 yards on the ground. I'm taking Eastern Michigan. I'll take the points, and I'll take the over. You like that?
I like that, man. I'm riding with you.
All right.
Come back. You can't.
I got to get two tonight.
We have a losing streak. Anybody can lose once. We ain't having no losing streaks.
No. We got to come back today. That's what we're going to do. All right. We only got about a half a minute here. We got the draft tonight. Like I said, we'll have full coverage. Starts at 7:30 tonight on 98.7 ESPN. ESPN has the coverage. And we will be live on MSG as well if you want more of a focused coverage on the Knicks, their draft picks, what they're doing going forward, and any more moves that might happen. Keep an eye on things. Obi Toppin, everybody. That's what I see. So, Bart, it's draft night, and then tomorrow, of course, we could break down what happens and certainly go on from there. But it's going to be one of those nights, man. I get to put a suit on
and be on TV. It's like Shaft Samuel Jackson when he was walking around that dirty, nitty sweater. Then he shaved his head and tightened up. Tighten it up.
No doubt about it. Until then, I'll see you tonight on TV, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Ahala.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.